It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh**. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being replaced by voicemail. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
And owner of Joker's Comedy Club, Walt Papalia.
Thank you, baby. Papalo.
Papalo?
No, Leo.
Oh.
Papalo.
Papalo.
Yep.
Your name is very difficult for me.
I don't know why.
It is. It shouldn't be, but
just
it is.
Do it phonetically.
Papalo. Papalo.
Po-pal-o.
It's a lot. It's too much.
Are you related to the Papil?
It's too much. Joe's out tonight.
I may find out, though, if I do my Ancestry.com.
You should.
You should.
You might be a Viking. On the show, is technology slowing down the workplace? The IRS settles with the Tea Party. Hitler's last meal. And believe it or not, people judge couples with different last names. People form opinions. We'll get to that. I think a lot of people do. We'll get there. But we've done a lot of stuff with the Boy Scouts over the past couple months.
Speak for yourself.
Well, it's what I do. They pitch a tent. I give them a badge. It's kind of my thing. But the Girl Scouts made the news. This
yes.
is kind of interesting. The Girl Scouts have said, do not force your daughter to hug family members. So this is what's going on behind it. Don't
family members?
Family members.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically your family members. But this is what's going
on. Specifically you.
do not hug Walt. He's a hugger.
Stay away from Uncle Walt.
Yes. So,
creepy.
What?
Bushy eyebrows.
You're not that creepy. You're a little creepy.
Let him advertise himself the way he sees fit.
All right. Noted. All right. So here's the story. We'll play it and we'll discuss it.
Post by the Girl Scouts of America is sparking discussion.
The topic is hugs. The Girl Scout says that young girls should not be forced to give or receive hugs from family and friends during the holiday. They say that that goes a long way to teach them about consent. Instead, the Scout says that there are other ways for girls to express affection.
It's important for kids to feel empowered and brave enough to share how they want to share.
You don't have to really use your body to tell people that. You can just use your words.
Even in, like, college and after that, working situations, like, I've been forced to hug people I'd rather not touch me.
It's very, very ridiculous. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you didn't have that chance to hug or kiss somebody in your family.
Mm-hmm. Well, the group says telling a girl she owes someone a hug can affect her later in life. She may feel she owes another person physical affection when they've either bought her dinner or just even done something nice for her.
I don't have a problem with this.
Yeah,
I think this is a very good idea.
I agree, and I think maybe expanding it to all children,
yeah,
not just little girls.
Boys and girls.
So Girl Scouts developmental psychologist Dr. Andrea Bastiani Archibald, that's a lot of a name too, said in a statement that though the notion of consent may seem very grown up and like something that doesn't pertain to children, the lessons girls learn when they're young about setting physical boundaries and expecting them to be respected last a lifetime and can influence how she feels about herself and her body as she gets older. In the blog post, the Girl Scout said that caregivers should teach children alternatives of showing affection, such as high fives or air kisses, so kids can choose the expression they're most comfortable with. According to the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, RAIN, Pip's old gig, one in nine girls under the age of 18 experience sexual abuse or assault at the hands of an adult, a vast majority of whom are family members. About 90% of child sex abuse cases involve a parent or a relative, said RAIN. That does not pertain to Alabama. Okay, so...
Well, the numbers are higher.
Well, this country no longer wants you to live in it. Why? You think this is wrong?
Yes.
Why? Have you ever, when you were a child, were you ever forced to hug or kiss somebody?
My mother would say, go over there and give Aunt Dolores a kiss. Yes.
And you did. Did you feel violated?
No.
How about when Aunt Dolores stuck a little tongue down your mouth?
No.
That was a little much?
That made me grow up a little bit.
Made you the man you are today.
You can't stop. This politically correct and...
Well, I don't know if this...
There's no touching thing. It's just so... such bizarre behavior.
Well, I think that there is something to this because little girls are socialized to not saying no. And you're if somebody
will you tell my daughter?
Yeah,
well,
yeah, I know. She no longer.
Apparently, she has not been socialized properly because she knows no quite well.
But it is true that, you know, it's unfortunate, but there are creeps in everybody's family.
Some are in my basement, you know, right now.
Yeah, present company included.
Exactly.
But there, and so it's like if the kids do have radar for that's creepy Uncle Walt, and it's, I don't want to give him a hug. And they're like, get over there and show him some love. So now she's learned that even if her spidey sense is telling her there's something wrong, that I don't want to, like, be touching him, or I want to be able to say no. She's been overridden.
But,
she's
but
told
we're
a bad
talking
girl.
About a hug in front of a group of people. Can't you say, okay, go give a crazy uncle, whatever, a hug? And also explain, listen, if somebody touches you inappropriately, you need to tell us. Can't you do both?
You should do both. But the thing is that you're also telling, because even though it's in a group of people, now kid touchers are a special breed of disgusting. And they get off on control of the children and manipulating them, grooming them.
But we're not talking. But they're not being groomed by said kid toucher. This is the parent saying,
"Go
kiss."
The parent saying, and the kid said, "No, I don't want to." And the parent saying, "You'll get over there and you'll give them a hug." So you're ignoring what the kid wants.
No, that's a little. It's not saying that you're forcing
him. They're saying if the kid doesn't want to touch,
they're not saying
that.
They're saying, like, don't even suggest it. Like, you know, sometimes you got to kiss a grandma with a whisker out of a mole. That's the gig. You kiss her, she feels better. You wipe off your face.
Go over there and give my friend a kiss.
Really?
Say hello
to your friends.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's much. I wouldn't do that.
My sister.
That's different.
Go give my sister a hug and a kiss.
Well, that's her aunt.
See that?
I think the friend thing is more of a problem.
See, I personally react to this because having had that happen to me as a young girl,
I was forced to kiss.
Yeah, I mean, I was. But you also do learn from a lot of different. This is one piece of the pie. You do learn from a lot of different areas that you don't have agency. That you're supposed to go over and do what people tell you to do.
I think you can teach your child independence and how to say no and what's wrong and right, and still have them kiss a family member. I think you could do both.
But if they don't want to hug that person, why are you forcing them to do it?
Nobody said they're forcing.
Nobody said forcing.
Let them go over and
shake
their hand.
But
high five.
But some
don't remind them, because it might be something simple as, hey, you walked in, you forgot to go give Uncle Joey a kiss.
But they're saying specifically hugging. So go over and say hi.
Say hug.
It was hug.
Kisses.
But you know what? But the older generation, they don't understand this newfangled stuff. Like, my mother would get very hurt when my daughter wouldn't give her a hug. And my daughter's not a huggy person. My daughter doesn't even hug. She's just not a hug. She's very tactile.
Right. So what the child learns is that it doesn't matter what you particularly want. The older person gets to tell you what to do.
Wait a minute.
In all cases.
What's your daughter's name?
I don't say it on the ever.
Okay,
even.
Whatever. Little Ashley, whatever her name is.
Little Ashley.
You know what? Grandma's over there. Why don't you go give her a hug?
Mm-hmm.
Would she do it, or would she just fight that also?
No, I mean, she's not going to pout, but she'll let like grandma hug her, and she might have her arms down. But she's not much of a hugger. She's a very standoffish type of kid.
That's fine, but if she doesn't fight you on it, there's nothing wrong with you saying, hey, that's my mom over there.
Yeah, she's very standoffish. Like, she fights this, we'll make her do that. But she's also a very independent kid.
She is.
So that's what I'm saying. You can do both. You don't have to break your child's will and what's right and wrong by having them kiss a relative.
No, I mean, you don't have to make them show their affection and say hello in that particular way.
I don't think an air kiss is going to cut it for the older generation.
Well, you know what? I this will sound sexist as hell, but most of the time, pedophiles are not women. If you want the old aunties and the grandmas to get that, but it's like grandpa, uncle, this your family friend. Let them high five. Let them like slap.
So what
their
about
hand and stuff.
What about grandpa?
You know what? If they don't want to do it, they don't have to. You don't know. And I'm not saying that it's true. But you don't know how many times in families, grandpa is doing something.
But you can also teach
saying,
your kid where you can be touched. A hug is outside of the clothes.
Right.
Once the clothes come off, it's a different thing. Once you're touching below the belt, it's a different thing.
It starts more subtle than that. Grooming starts more
subtly
than that.
But they're not grooming because you're supervising. They're not grooming. The parent is supervising. You don't leave them alone to get hugged up and down.
In the room
This is baloney. This is garbage. This is why nobody buys their overpriced cookies anymore. All right, we'll be back.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
All right, so we're living in an increasingly automated, get-rid-of-people world.
Yeah.
And there are certainly some people I'd like to get rid of. But it might not be the best for the businesses. So travel reservations. Back in the day, you'd call a travel agent, explain what you needed, or the company had a travel agent, and you'd go through that travel agent, and they would book your hotel, and they would book your, all your stuff.
Figure out your whole itinerary.
Yeah, they would do it all for you.
Get the car.
Now, those people have been eliminated. It just happened at the wife's job.
Yeah.
They just got rid of all the administrative assistants.
Yeah.
And my wife's leaving town.
Wow.
In a little bit. So she had to go.
She did. She was a travel agent.
No. I'm saying they got at her job. They got rid of all the administrative assistants, and she's leaving town. So she had to go find a hotel, an airline, and get a vehicle to pick her up. All this stuff that would have been done ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
and she's getting paid a lot more than an administrative assistant was. So now she's taking time out of her workday to plan this flight information, as opposed to having an administrative assistant do it. Like I don't know about you, but when I'm going out for gigs, I do it myself. It takes forever because I'm looking to save as much money as I can. You go between Orbitz and Priceline and Travelocity and
Kayak.
Yeah, but it's
they
not.
Say they do it all, and it's still really difficult. You sit there and they've basically find all these different sites, and there's all these different lines with all these different things. Now you have to sit there and compare. But they found them all for you, but now you sit there and go, yeah, but this one leaves at 3 in the morning, and this one's cheaper, and this one has a layover,
this one doesn't have a layover. There's a whole bunch of...
Ugh.
It's like 18 hours by plane to get to, like, Miami.
It happens, yeah.
Yeah, and it takes you longer to figure out the...
California first.
Coming back from the Bahamas is really hard to do. I'm doing that in a few weeks, and it's like some of them you have to... My wife and kid, they're leaving, coming back before I am. They have a stop over in Canada to come back to New York. It's it's crazy.
Yeah.
But now you have like a high paid worker doing all this stuff.
Right.
They used to have an administrative assistant do. So this is the math on it. So you end up spend up half an hour doing your own itinerary for the sake of argument. You cost your company $100,000 a year. That's approximately the equivalent of an hourly salary of $50. So it costs you $25 to create the itinerary. First of all, it takes way more than 30 minutes to build an itinerary.
No.
But that's the basic cost, because presumably your time could have been better spent. You're also paying an opportunity cost. That's a half hour you didn't spend coaching, creating, innovating, or communicating, all which probably was worth at least $25. So creating your own itinerary actually costs you at least $50. Back in the day, car rental firms, airlines, and hotels pay travel agents a small commission to create itineraries. While those firms could and did pass that cost on to you, the average wage of a travel agent in today's dollars would be about $18 an hour. However, while it might have taken you half an hour to do your itinerary, a specialist could probably have done it in half the time, 15 minutes. They can do it. They can do it quicker.
Oh, they can do it quicker because they're into it. That's their milieu, you know, so they're much more... You know, they can finesse the websites better than just the average person.
So their math says that would take them, it costs $4.50, cost you $4.50. So you're...
Are you for this or you're against this?
I think it depends on specific things.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some things that automation is good. Like I'm fine with less toll collectors. It goes quicker with Easy Pass. Now, I still think there should be some, because sometimes you need to ask directions.
But they never knew where they, because they're from all over the place, so they never knew how to get any place from their particular toll booth.
Theoretically, if they hired a better caliber of person.
Well, see, that's the problem.
But that's a place where I'm happy with automation.
Yeah. Although a lot of people run...
On the highways, on the interstates.
Although I just heard that a lot more people run tolls now than they did when there was a person there.
Yeah, but they take picture of your license plate. You're not escaping.
So you would rather go with a travel agent than go on like Expedia yourself?
No, I do it myself because I'm working for myself. Mm-hmm. But if I was a company, I'd rather have my administrative assistant do it than somebody who is paying a lot more. Somebody who I'm paying a lot more to do it.
Yeah, you don't want to have the. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. They got rid of all the administrative assistants, so now all the higher paid people have to do it themselves on company time.
Well, and we'll try to find a travel agent.
It's not.
That'd be
cheaper. No, when you sit down
doing it for 1 hour.
No, but they also have other people. Remember, people are traveling. Salespeople are traveling all over the place all the time. You have all these people. They could be trying to drum
so
up new.
One person is doing everybody's itinerary?
Sometimes they have that. Like, they'll have somebody who's like a personal assistant to several different people, and so they have
a
to
department.
Figure out. Yeah.
That's gone.
Well, no.
At my wife's job, they got rid of all of them.
Well, actually, what the article is pointing out is that the services that used to do these things for us, like a travel agent who specialized in doing that thing, you could farm all this stuff out to somebody else. Now you have people in the company. They're presumably getting a higher rate of pay sitting and spending their time doing that when they didn't used to have to do it.
One person as opposed to five people who got let go.
Yeah, but that's one.
Still saving money on the five people in their benefits.
Well, I do think that's something that this article does not take into the account.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you have support staff, presumably you are paying them benefits,
right?
And you're paying them sick days, yeah. And you're paying them vacation. So there is that.
You know what the number one thing that people steal from their job?
Post-it notes.
I don't know.
Time.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's like an ancient proverb.
Time. So you're also firing. You're getting that time. You're not paying for that lost time anymore.
Right.
So you're saving a lot more money than, I mean, having those administrative assistants there, you're paying them for 8 hours a day. They're probably doing 4 hours of work.
Well, they're also answering the phones. This is another thing they brought up. You know, now we're spending more time checking our own voicemail, whereas before somebody was giving you the messages, sorting out what you needed to know. I really don't have a problem.
Trump is going to fix all of that.
And how is that going to happen?
He's going to make
Oh, Lord.
So it's Ma'aga.
Bless you.
Ma'aga. That's going to be the second term. He's going to add an A. We got the best vowels.
I got a great deal on vowels. A's were on sale.
Hey, Scaramucci will be back. Hey!
China. I got a great deal on A's.
Hey, they don't even use A's in China.
Can I buy a vowel? Only wholesale.
You know what China is without an A? A chin. And they're full of them over there.
Yeah.
Chine.
China.
I grabbed it for chine.
Oh, no.
Wow. I think it depends. Like, I think it depends on the job. Like, I'm at the supermarket, I will go to the register where there's a person working.
Yes.
Then the self-serve.
No, you like the self-serve?
It never goes quickly. My wife's like
always.
You. It does
always.
Not. Because you know what? Because the machines always break. Then they have to bring over the one person who's manning six machines to look at it, to blow the coupon in. It's always...
Hello.
You know why I go to those machines? Because people like you do not go to them.
What if people like me?
Open. They're always open.
They're open, but then it's always yelling at me. Place the item into the bag. And I'm like, I did!
Yeah.
This is not a GPS.
It
no,
talks to you.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, they do.
Which one? The one Walmart did, I think. Yeah.
Well,
look at you cash register dropping. Well, the Walmart ones, those highfalutin Walmart ones.
I forgot what supermarket it was that I was in. It B kept yelling at me, and then Lowe's. Yeah.
It raised its voice.
It did. Put it in.
You know, here's the thing. I think the automated ones are good for seven items or less.
Yes.
Seven items.
Yes.
If I'm in a rush. Okay.
That works, but I don't know.
No,
so good after I scan all my items, put it through,
Doing all their groceries because they're afraid of Kim Jong-un is going to launch the attack and they're going through that self-scan, it's a whole day process. I don't...
If you hear a hurricane come in, they got to get all the milk, bread, water, and batteries out of that place. So they are going to be, like, all over the place. I want the person on the line helping me bag
I want
it.
The trained professional 16-year-old. So are you?
Leave the self-service open for me.
So are you an online banker, or do you go into the bank?
I never go into the bank
because you don't have money. But you don't go into the bank.
I deposit my checks on my phone. I do all my transfers.
See, I don't trust that. Because I deal with the hacking all the time. That's why I don't trust
it. You see how insecure.
What are they going to do? They're going to your account and take your money. The bank's liable for it.
I don't want to go through all that.
Yeah, it's a major inconvenience.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could lose
your account number if they want it anyway.
It's a lot easier if I'm doing it on Wi-Fi. I'm not telling you, you creep.
We've already established your kid touch. We're not going to trust our bank accounts.
We are, as soon as you leave, we are packing out this home and moving. You're a hugger.
Yeah.
And you force your children to hug your friends, you creep. What's wrong with your wife?
She forces you to hug other people. Yes.
Other people's children. Maybe Walter, go hug that lady's child.
We did.
Oh wow. Really, Senator?
Please tap the floor twice if you agree with us.
I know somebody who supports you, but I don't.
I'm looking for a new partner.
A new partner.
Boy.
Tommy Davis, is he available?
What are you talking about?
Franken and Davis.
What is?
Franken? Oh yeah, Tom Franken with Al Franken's partner.
Who's Tom Davis?
He was a comedy writer on Saturday Night Live.
Before my time. We'll be back.
No, it wasn't.
It was. I'm very young. You old creep huggy guy.
He is.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
We are back. Listen to Davin's Den.
Before, it was all right to talk over the credit.
No, it was a new
Girl Scout thing, and now
because I had shut the mics off.
Oh well, you gotta help with that stuff.
Yeah. You only had a radio show for a little while. You're only on terrestrial.
Yeah, I used to go like this.
Well, you did work at a very professional place. I will vouch for that. Extremely professional.
That's not the finger that Davin gives when we're supposed to dummy up.
So this is good news for you, Walt. You'll appreciate this. The IRS has settled with the Tea Party.
What does that mean?
It means they apologized and gave them money. I'll tell you the story. You didn't know this?
No.
The Tea Party was suing the IRS.
Oh, yeah?
How do you not know this stuff?
I don't know it. Is it on Fox News?
It probably would be.
Maybe.
You're strictly a Fox News guy.
Yes. Tucker Carlson, followed by Hannity, followed by Martha McCallum. No, I'm sorry. It's the other one.
Thanks for the lineup. No Shep Smith in your day?
No, he hates Trump.
He doesn't hate Trump. He reports the news. Just because you report the news, does that mean you hate Trump?
I hate Shepard Smith.
Because he reports the news. He doesn't report the news Trump wants to hear. Well, they're both very handsome men. There's nothing wrong with that. Shep Smith's probably the most handsome guy on the network. Is Hannity handsome?
No.
Ew, no.
Who's more handsome than Shep Smith? Ducey?
On
Fox News.
Rob Ducey?
No, Steve Ducey. He's the Fox and Friends.
In the morning?
There's nobody more. Maybe a Kilmeade, but I'll take a Shep Smith.
Brian Kilmeade.
You think he's more handsome than Shep Smith?
Maybe.
It's close.
Shep Smith looks bizarre. He looks like a mannequin. I didn't know what he looked like. I just looked him
up. They don't make mannequins of ugly people. You never see a hideous mannequin at Macy's.
No, but he's strange looking.
He's got a lazy eye. I want the sweater. Yeah, the one that the mannequin with the goiter's wearing. Do you have any mannequins that ooze pus? Mannequins are made of attractive people, and if they run out of attractive people, they just make mannequins without heads. That's the rules.
The irregulars.
Yes, there's no ugly mannequins. Them's the rules.
Hey, you know what, though? You're going to know what you look like in that outfit if the mannequin's ugly. Not you.
Wow.
Most people.
Shots fired.
Most people.
Why don't you put your mask on there, Godzilla?
That's how that whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably somebody says, you know, you got politically correct. You have to make ugly mannequins. You can't all be pretty. And then he's, you know, we're just going to go ahead.
That's it. Nobody gets a head.
Nobody.
Nobody gets heads. And you got to go to Lane Bryan for a fat mannequin. You're not going to see them at Nordstrom's.
Yeah. No, they don't even have fat mannequins.
They don't?
They don't. No. No, it used to drive me crazy. You go into the No, you go into the big lady store.
We're not
going to
do the story I had planned, are we?
No, you go into the big lady store and there's big pictures all over the wall of these skinny broads, and it's like, who shops there and looks like that? That's not what you sell.
No,
yeah.
No, Lane Bryant has skinny people on the wall.
They do.
That defeats the purpose.
Recently they've been showing more
I just saw a commercial. They should show modely models.
I just saw
a commercial. They had a whole group of Zoftic women parading across
now
my TV.
Now they do, but they're...
Brian's still around?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, fat women still need clothes. What, do you think that stops?
Yeah, we think we stopped eating?
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think? That was one of Trump's first executive orders?
Never
no more Lane Bryant.
Yeah, that probably is coming.
Nobody below a seven.
Nobody above a seven. You said nobody below a seven. Nobody above a seven.
No, I mean if they're below a seven. Fat girls would be below a seven. Nobody below a seven.
Oh, on a rating scale of 1 to 10, I get you. Oh, we're thinking size.
Oh, okay. Oh, Trump ain't going up to a seven.
No
Trump's like up to two.
Seven, that's his Zoftig.
Melania, is that a role I see?
Yeah. Melania, you're looking rather Rubenesque.
You're letting yourself go.
Please, he doesn't know what Rubenesque means.
It's a little offensive. They should have fat mannequins.
I mean, if
fatigans.
They have them, they don't have...
Just take the dress and put it over the rack.
You know what?
Potato sack. Come here, you fat broad. Here you go.
You can barely cover the rack sometimes.
But isn't the whole part it's supposed to be like trendy-ish looking clothes for heavier...
Yeah, but they don't really have big mannequins. They pin that stuff back.
What do you mean they pin
They take the extra material and they pin it at the back so it looks like you have a tiny little waist. You unfurl the actual garment, ta-da! They do have some mannequins, but they usually have no heads. Yeah.
Which heavy women love really tight clothes.
They don't put the shirt or the blouse on the mannequin. They put it around it.
Yeah, kind of.
This is ridiculous. Aren't you offended?
I don't really care about the mannequins. I care about the broads on the wall, though. They have these little skinny broads dancing around.
Well,
I was.
What? Don't fatigans need work, too? If fatigans can't work at Lane Bryant, where can they
work? They just don't make them that big.
What? It's plastic. You can make a fatigan.
I guess they could, but they don't. They don't bother. I want the real-life depictions to be heavier girls when they had these little skinny broads.
No, I want
like,
a fatigan with three chins. That's what I want. I want a three-chin fatigan.
You got to work making those.
Rolling around 350. That's what I want, and then you put the tarp on her. That's what I want, so I know if I let myself go this holiday season, that's what I look
like. We're talking Lane Bryant, not Morrisan.
Who?
Morrisan. It's a tent company.
Why do you know tent? You're not a camper.
I know, but
were you going shopping for holiday clothes?
Route 17. There used to be this big Morrisan. Never
heard. No.
No? No? Oh, you're kidding. Oh, okay.
No, she's making stuff up.
No, I do often, but
for
not
all your
this
tenting
one.
Needs.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah, we didn't.
I dated myself.
We did not. We'll have to do the tea party another time. we got distracted by fatigans. Why? You would have learned something. It came out good for your side.
Apparently, he's not.
You're so informed. I don't understand how you didn't win your run for office. How did that
happen? I don't even care.
Well, you ruined it. You ruin everything.
You ruined Zabo.
No fatigans for you.
I was buying her a present from Lane Bryant.
Are you insinuating she's a Lane Bryant gal? No, how? No, I said it. But I have a relationship with her. Who are you?
She said that she goes in there and she's...
No, she's advocating for tents. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. Yeah, that's where she's going shopping, which is a whole different thing.
Now I'm going to Coleman's. I can get a thermos with it.
Is Davin's Den.
Is Davin's Den.
Let's do, it's always good when we could do the Nazi stories and we're talking about the big guy. The man who started it all, Adolf. So we'll play a little Nazi theme music and away we'll go.
Okay.
Ihr dürft nicht handeln, ihr müsst gehorchen, ihr müsst euch fügen, ihr müsst euch...
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
So Constanz Manserli was Hitler's personal chef. Did you know that?
No.
We learned things here. Hitler had a meager... What do you think Hitler's final meal was? Well, you read the story. You don't know. What do you think?
Bratwurst.
No. But it's a good guess. His had a final meal of pasta and tomato sauce before he shot himself in his Berlin bunker. Newly uncovered letters revealed. The Fuhrer was forced to suffer the indignity of basic grub as Allied troops rolled victoriously into crumbling German capital on April 30th, 1945. He killed himself between courses. He couldn't wait. She prepared a main course of fried eggs and mashed potatoes, not knowing he was already dead. Earlier notes show that the Austrian cook often wrote of a, quote, demoralized Hitler in the final year of the war.
Aww.
And it is. Nobody likes to see a...
Nobody likes to see somebody down like that.
No, especially such a sweetie. And a stream of her left her feeling that I have one foot in the grave. Famously a vegetarian, her meal... Is it famous if I didn't know? I don't think so. Famously a vegetarian, her meals often involved mushrooms and baked produce like bread and cakes, which he devoured relentlessly. He would, quote, lose control and stuff himself during late-night meetings. Adolf.
A vegetarian?
Yes, he was a vegetarian.
Adolf ate all of his food. See what I did there? Oh, God, the looks I'm getting. Go on. Adolf, all of his food. Adolf's plate.
Pip Helix, ladies and gentlemen. Pip Helix. by the way, it's not just me and Joe who gave you the sign. Walt, who doesn't even know the just like a dog whose eyes crossed.
like
a dog who saw like his owner's humping for the first time and was confused. That's the look Walt gave you.
I've seen that look, and that was pretty close.
Yes. So anyway, he once gave Manserli gray stockings as a gift. She wrote to her sister that he did not know much about women's fashion. Now, before we go on, in Hitler's defense, which is a phrase I never thought I would say.
I am shocked that you just said that.
Isn't it possible he didn't know much about ladies' fashion because he was busy trying to conquer Europe? I mean, can we cut him some slack? He's got other things to worry about.
We have to cut Hitler some slack.
Well, I mean, when it comes to women's fashion.
That sounds like something CNN would bring up. Hitler didn't know how to buy Christmas presents.
That's pretty funny.
So now you don't believe the stories about Hitler because you think CNN reported it.
Yes.
Well, that stands for considering who you like for president. It's not fake news. I kind of take a little satisfaction in the fact that he did not have a great last meal.
I do too. I like that it was something simple and that he couldn't wait.
It was so bad. Like, the meal was so bad, it's like, I can't eat another bite.
I know. It's like, what cook is that bad?
You think that's why he had the spaghetti?
Yeah.
You know what? It was tomato sauce from a can, and he would not have that.
Well, it wasn't even like Del Monte. It was like the no-frills version. It was like watery. Constance didn't care anymore. She knew what was coming. Like, ah, screw it.
Yeah, it's hot water. I'll put a red crayon in it. Done.
I was surprised he was a vegetarian.
Yeah, so was I.
I had actually heard that someplace, but it's like he worried about slaughtering animals? Really?
All right. We'll be back.
This is Davinston.
Rachel Robnett, a psychology professor at the University of Nevada. Didn't even know there was such a thing. More scientifically puts it in a press release. Our findings indicate that people extrapolate from marital surname choices to make more general inferences about a couple's gender-typed personality traits. So for just the fact that you guys are sharing last names, people are assuming stuff about you. Mm-hmm. The scientists have conducted 3 studies on this topic to date, and the newest published in the journal Springer. Researchers found that when a woman chooses not to take her husband's surname after marriage, people perceive her husband as being more feminine and less masculine. These same women, on the other hand, are regarded to yield more power and to be more self-focused, ambitious, and assertive, according to the previous research. In other words, a real witch.
Hey, now.
I'm an all-star. Did you take your husband's?
I did not.
Yeah, my wife did not take mine. Now, your wife took your last name.
Oh, so
neither one of us got off clean. Nobody on this show tonight got off clean.
Yeah, we took all different routes.
But she on her driver's license, it's a hyphenated, her name and hyphenated my name, but she signs everything my last name.
But legally, she did not want to commit to your last name.
Which I'm happy. I kind of wish she just stayed with her maiden name.
You just wish she would just be hyphen.
Sweet.
Why?
Eventually.
Yeah. When the time comes, when you've had enough.
Eventually. Oh, man.
Eventually it's going to be.
It's in the prenup. She gets her name back. Walt gets his name back.
I actually took a different route. I didn't take
You came up with a fake name for radio?
That's true. And
his first name.
I did.
We've had him on the air.
Yeah, we have. And no, I actually didn't take his last name, but I took his last name and replaced my middle name with it.
What now? So you got rid of your middle name just got cut out of the equation.
It's gone. And now
what was your middle name?
My middle name was Carol.
And you were not a fan of Carol.
I was not.
So really, it wasn't so much for Mr. Helix. You just had an excuse to get rid of Carol.
Yeah.
I'm not putting the math together yet. What is your real name?
Well, that can't be revealed. She'd have to kill you and then eat you.
Right. So say that my maiden name was Jones. Well, no, Helix. So I'm Pip Helix. And say that I married Marky Ramone. So now my name is Pip Ramone Helix.
So it's a different route to go to the hyphen.
Yeah, but I use it as my middle name.
Right. And so she's even less committed than your wife. Now my wife is the least committed at all. She's like, oh no, that's a long name and there's a lot of vowels. She uses her maiden name, and it's irksome. Were you irked?
No,
you were not irked.
No, I didn't care.
You didn't care?
I still don't.
Was Mr. Helix irked?
No.
Not irked at all. Well, he didn't want people to know. The Ramones were very irked.
The Ramones are upset. The ones that are alive. Oh, that's right.
I think people do assume things. I think
they
people do.
Do
assume that the guy's not in control.
I think that's true. I was actually at a conference someplace, and I don't know how it came up. Somebody asked me, you know, something about maiden name, and I said, no, I didn't change my name. And some guy that I do not know, but he's in my profession, went, you didn't change your name? And I was like, and what what do you have in it? You know?
So
yeah,
you think we're going to evolve away from that completely?
Yes. I think there's not going to be anybody's last name that's going to be the same. It's going to be, you're going to want to do it, or it's going to be acceptable both ways.
Some women want to do it.
Back in the 70s, when we were talking about All in the Family,
yeah.
Everybody, you know, Edith Bunker.
Yeah.
Everybody took the last name.
Yeah.
Do you remember anybody back in the 70s?
I was six
80s.
At the
okay. Anybody back in the 80s that didn't have their husband's last name? I can't remember.
I think it started to happen when more women came to the workplace.
It probably started happening that way. But also, I mean, personally, if we were going to have children, I would have changed my name so that we had a family name.
Well, I mean, she's still referred to by my last name, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. my daughter has my last name. Although mm-hmm. it's funny, some of the bills are like under my wife's name, and I'll pick up the phone and they'll call me by her wife's last name. And I just don't correct them because I don't care.
I know. I say, well, on the air, I say Mr. Helix, but he has his own last name. And he didn't take mine. But I think that would be really odd.
What?
If the husband took the wife's last name.
I think people do that, too.
It happens sometimes.
Does that happen?
I think it does.
I don't think so.
I know.
I think if you don't like your family, you do it.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
Or if you had a really difficult name and you always wanted to get rid of it.
Like Papadopoulos.
Yes. Yeah, so maybe.
I wonder if any man
Lipschitz.
Ever took.
Watch your language.
If any man ever took his wife's name. I think
it's happened.
I'm sure people have
done
it.
I'm telling you, like, if you hate your family, like if you came from a bad family and her family is very loving towards you, I could see that happening.
Yeah,
if you just, like, hated your family or something. I'm sure that a couple of hippies have done it, you know?
Yeah, you know.
Can we Google this?
I'm sure we could if we had time.
I don't know. Yeah, well, that's what we'll do.
We're gonna Google that.
We had a family that lived in my old town that his name was Jones, her name was Smith. They kept their own names, and they had two kids, and they hyphenated the kids' last names, but they didn't say consistent. So one kid is Smith hyphen Jones, and the other one is Jones hyphen Smith.
That's stupid.
I would want to kill these people.
That's stupid.
It's so stupid. Nobody in the family has the same last name.
You know what? Just do it like Zappa did. You got Moon Unit. You got Thweezil. You know, just if you're gonna do that, let's go all the way.
Can
you do that when you get your birth certificate when you're born?
You could do whatever you want.
They can give you the last name of the father.
That's not necessarily.
Yes, they do.
But you could ask. For
I'm sure you
something.
Got. I'm sure you. Could, I'm sure you could ask
Siri.
For them not.
See, hurry, find out about this. I'm sure you can ask for it to be a different name.
No way.
At the time you're born, sure. Every birth certificate
has the father's last name.
No, it doesn't. Sometimes the father's not in the picture. Yeah. Sometimes she doesn't know who the father is.
Is this Jerry Springer all of a sudden? No, I do know who my baby's
spermatoza
father is.
Number 36. That's the last name.
I just met a guy, I swear.
Yeah, how long have you been seeing each other?
27 years old. This guy has three kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
27 years old, and he has three different mothers.
Right, so what team does he play for?
Oh.
I'm saying he's an athlete.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Three
yeah.
mothers?
Have you been watching television recently?
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing it right, sure. Well, Antonio Cromartie. More than that, he's got like a boatload of kids.
Never met him.
Well,
this guy
if you did, he would have impregnated you.
Yeah.
All right, well, tell us about your club.
Joker's Comedy Club, open Saturday nights. This week we have, what is it?
Give us next week. Give us next week, because this is going to air on Sunday.
Let's see. I have Brad Lowry.
There you go.
December 9th.
There you go. All right, Thursday, December 7th, I'll be in Waterloo, New York at the Del Lago Casino. For tickets, call 315-946-1777. And Friday, December 8th, I'll be in Clark, New Jersey at Molly Maguire's. For tickets, call 732-388-6511. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, you can listen unedited, davinsden.com. Follow us on Twitter, @davinsden. Like us on Facebook, Davinsden. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.